who? See how that how that picks up. Now, I've learned a lot of tunes since I've been here. I've been working on different fiddle tunes.
Well, now I wish that I've got a lot of old time tunes that probably you know. And probably there's a lot of them that you never heard.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I imagine.
You see, he used some glue on my fiddle, and we didn't play or anything. And he decided to let the glue dry good before do anything, and I ain't fooled with the fiddle since he was here.
When I come over with Hansel again, there are a couple other tunes I want to do. You know, you did Mississippi Sawyer,
yeah.
And I started playing the banjo, and I couldn't get it in tune. And I think I'll take that off the tape and get you to do it again, because...
All right.
Maybe, Mr. Props, you could just again tell me sort of how you got going on the fiddle. That's interesting to me.
Well, ain't very much to tell you.
How old were you?
Well, I was about 8 years old when I started to play, 8 or 9, something like that, when I started to play the fiddle. And I only used one finger, as I told you.
Mm-hmm.
Played that way a while, and my brother and I, he picked the banjo some. And we played that way together some.
Now, he was also a fiddler.
Yeah, he was a good fiddler. And of course, I improved a little as I went along, and he played the fiddle for all the dances, and they used to have frolics and apple bottle boilings and such as that, and after everything was over, during the night, well, they'd have a big dance, you know, and of course, he was always called on to do the fiddling. There was nobody else to do it.
Huh.
And finally, he quit playing. He wouldn't play at all. He wasn't out of practice now. He was as good as he ever was. But he just got away from it and he didn't want to play again.
Why do you think? Got tired of it?
I guess he did. Just got tired of it and kind of wore out with it. And he quit. And after he quit playing the fiddle, well, of course, they all picked on me to do it from that time on.
One of the things that interested me is, do you think you fiddled like he did, or did you have a different style?
No, I would have to say that I played his style pretty well, because it was the style that I grew up with, you know, and all the one that I ever knew anything about, and I would have to say that I played his style. It's an old time style. It maybe don't go so good today, but it does go something like this bluegrass music, as they call it.
Yeah.
Too.
Well, there's a lot of interest in that style still. There is. I noticed I like having your tape and then Hansel's, because you two have a somewhat different style of playing.
Well, yes, to be understood pretty well, because we played a good bit together, you know.
Uh-huh.
His dad used to come here.
No, but I was going to say it's different in ways, too.
Oh, yeah. Now, he was a pretty good fiddler.
Hansel's
dad was a pretty good fiddler, but now he played a different style to what I do and to what Hansel does.
Uh-huh.
He didn't play the same style, but I considered him a very good fiddler. And Well, Fred Smith was one of the best friends I ever had, and he would do anything for me. And I always thought well of Fred, and I always liked Hansel. Always got along with him good, worked with him, and always got along good with him. And I thought well of them both. Old Fred, he was a good neighbor, good fellow. He'd do anything for a person.
Uh-huh. you also do some singing when you fiddled? Or
singing? No. Yeah,
just fiddling, yeah.
I don't go much for singing.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what you think. I don't go much for singing. I'm a lot more for music.
Uh-huh.
I'm in favor of music. I think the program that they got on television, I claim, would be a lot better if they had more instrumental music among it than so many of these are songs, because so many of them songs, there ain't no tune to them, there ain't no meaning to it,
mm-hmm.
there ain't no music to it, and so there ain't anything to it that the body can enjoy at all. And that's what I think about it now.
Well,
that's my point of view.
Yeah, I was interested because some fiddle tunes do have words.
Yes,
you know, that's what I was interested
in. Now, there's just a host. There's quite a number of fiddle tunes that I know that I played sometime and could play some of them yet, that I can't remember the names of them. I have known the names already, used to know,
mm-hmm.
but I forgot the names of them. And it would be a little more satisfaction if somebody really did know the names of them, I guess.
Sure, yeah. Well, you know, the other day I came over to Hansel's house, and I had, I'll play it later, I had a tune that I liked that I'd gotten from a young mm-hmm. fiddler in Ivydale named David Morris. And he called the tune Sweet 16, or Too Young to Marry, and I played it for Hansel, and I said, why don't you learn that tune? And he said, I know that. We called it Lead Out.
Yeah. I know the tune.
So there are three names for one tune, which is really interesting.
Lead Out. Yeah. Well, really, it's a tune I never did like much.
Huh.
Maybe you do. But
I like the quality. It sounds sort of Irish to me, I think, is what I like about it.
Hansel, I've heard Hansel play it a good many times. I heard his daddy play it, too.
Did you learn most of your tunes, like, from your brother, or did you learn some from records that were going
on? No, was no records.
Uh-huh.
I learned it from my brother, listening to him, hearing him play, and that is a portion of it. And I guess the rest of it I just picked up by random,
uh-huh.
you might say. Just picked it up, you know.
Well, there were groups like the Carter Family singing, you know, and other string bands around.
But yeah. No, not at that time.
Uh-huh.
No, there was no radio, there was no television, there wasn't anything of the kind then. Not a thing.
Let's see how... Yep, still going on.
You're working it.
Yep, moving around, mm-hmm. so...
Okay. Now, is there anything else here?
Oh, I'm just interested, I guess the other thing I'm interested in is, and you mentioned some of the places that you played, you know, where you would play the fiddle, some of the, there'd be square dances, and
yeah.
would they be at people's houses? Or
yes, sir. Well, there are different places around in the neighborhood, anywhere that they would have a frolic, or apple butter boiling, or sometimes what they'd call a bean stringing. Now they'd have a frolic for, they'd have a job for the men, which they'd sell log rolling. Or a wood cutting,
mm-hmm.
sawing wood. So they'd have work done for the women, same quilting.
You mean everybody cooperate together?
That's right.
Yeah.
And, well, they'd have a wonderful supper fixed up. When you quit work and everything was over, you'd go in. And they'd have a wonderful supper fixed up. Good a supper as you ever sat down to. Just most anything to eat you wanted. Pot pie, chicken pot pie, and anything most that you wanted. And after supper, they'd get things organized, and the fiddler would have to get his fiddle. There was different places in the neighborhood.
Would this be at someone's house or at a church, or where would this
be? No, it was someone's house.
Yeah.
Yeah, at their home. I'd say there would be, there was Ananias Pitchenbarger. A lot of times had a frolic. Charlie Pitchenbarger a lot of times had a frolic. And Philip Raider's boys a lot of times had a frolic. And there was frolic turned up and showed up all over the neighborhood. Around different places, you know. And they'd have a bunch of men, sometimes 12, and a few more men. I remember one time I had a frolic there at Philip Raider's, and Henry and Propst and me, we had a log roll, and Henry and Propst and me carried together. Now,
what's a log roll?
A log roll, now that there is where you carry old logs on heaps, you know, pile them up to burn, get them off the ground, off the field. And if there was big logs, there was about six men to a log.
This is to clear out a meadow?
That's right.
Yeah.
And the pasture also.
Yeah.
And it would improve the pasture, you want to get that trash burned up and get it off the ground. And they'd take a spike, hand spike through and under, be a man on each side, you know. And the two at each end, two in the middle. And if the logs wasn't so big, why, they'd only be four. But, and you'd keep your man, the man that you started with of a morning, to carry with on the same spike, you'd carry all day with him that way. And Hendren Propst and me was carrying together. And Hendren was a big stout man. I was nothing but a boy. I wasn't over 16 years old then. I was pulling my side up with him. He was a big stout man. And he took advantage of me. When he stuck the spike through to me, why, he'd just stick a little bit of it through and he'd keep the long end. That would put the most of the weight over on me, you see. And one of the men, I can't recall anymore which one of the men it was, told him, mentioned it. Says, Henry, says, you're taking advantage of that boy. He says, that ain't right. He said, you give him a chance. He says, he'll carry as much as you do. He said, he's been doing it. He says, give him a chance. Act fair about it. And it didn't go so good with him, because he seemed, you know, that the rest of them was a nuisance.
Yeah.
From that time on, we got along all right.
Huh. You mentioned the bean stringing. What's bean stringing?
Well, they'd pick maybe 8 or 10 big sacks of beans out of the cornfield. They planted beans, a lot of beans in the corn, you know. And
string beans?
Yeah, beans. Green beans. Sometimes they'd have several different kinds. Sometimes they'd have what they called corn beans. Then there was other kind of beans that they planted. And the vines are just full of beans. And they'd pick a couple rows through the field. Well, they'd have 8 or 10 sacks full, big bags full. They'd take them in the house, take everything out of the corner of the house, make a big room right in the corner like that, pour them beans all on a pile in the corner of the house. And they'd sit around on chairs, you know, pans in their lap, get a couple handfuls of beans in the pan each time, string them.
I mean, yeah, pull the strings out.
Pull
okay.
the strings
yeah.
out. Uh-huh. And you get the strings, standing up in your way. Why, you had to empty your pan.
Uh-huh.
That was a bean string.
I see.
They'd keep on, kept that up till they had a big pile of beans strung.
Huh.
And done. And they had a big pile of beans. Well, they'd... Really, I don't know what they did with them. They surely didn't can all them beans. But there's one thing I do know that they done with a portion of them. They'd string them on string. Dry them. You ever see that?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Well, the way you do that, you take a long string of this your twine and take a darning needle, thread your needle up just like you do another needle, and string them on strings like that. Mm. Then you can hang them up over the stove. Or
that's the way of drying them then.
That's the way to dry them.
Did you, were you born on this land? Did you, have you lived all your life here?
Right here? No. No. No, I come here. I just can't tell you just what year it was anymore. But the way I come to be in this neighborhood, I reckon, I probably wouldn't have been here any other way. My mother married a man. He lived right down here at the Fort Smith Road, where you turned up off the wrong road. Right there, there was an old house set over in the bank. This old man lived, well, he didn't live there then at that time either. He lived down in the next house, below there. And she married this old man. Well, he had a pretty good little farm there, you know. And he had about 70 acres of ground, I guess. Well, there wasn't much of it cleared. Well, he was the one that cleared. And the old man really wasn't able to do it himself. And he wasn't so fond of work no way, telling you the truth about it. Well, after they got married, I was working for a fellow by the name of Pitchenbarger up there, back up above Franklin in the mountains where I was born and raised. And I was about, I reckon about 16 years old. Well, he wanted me to come down here and stay with him after he married my mother. Come down here and stay with him and do some work on the farm for us. And he was working up to help me to clear some land too, which I did. I done some hard work there, grubbing, burning brush, burning roots, plowing new ground, and such as that. And finally, I stayed there with him for a good many years. Well, this man Mowry lived in this old house that stood over in the bank, where I was telling you about, and this old man, my father-in-law, lived below in that other house, just below there. Well, Mowry got after him for a trade. Trade places. They owned this place here where I live now and what Floyd owns up here. Well, it suited the old man pretty well, so they just made a deal. And after they made the deal, well, of course, we just exchanged homes. They moved down there to that place, and we moved up in the other place. And I was with them from that time on up until he died. He died in 32, in the year of 32. And after he died, well, of course, the place was sold. Went through several hands. Well, my mother stayed there a year or two. She was getting up in here a good bit. She couldn't live herself, you know. She went to stay with my brother John. He lived up above Franklin in what they called across the gap. You've probably heard of that. You go over across the river and go up across the gap. He lived up in there at that time. She went to stay with him. Seemed like she liked him and the family pretty well, and she went to stay with him. And she stayed with him till she died. And, well, the place was up for sale then. This man Hartman over here, where we spoke of a bit ago, bought the place. And he's owned it ever since. But in this time, I bought 18 acres off the old man. That's my stepdaddy. I bought 18 acres off of it. The line goes across right down there below this old building where I had it surveyed. Well, I sold 7 acres to my son-in-law up on the ridge here. He owns 7 acres up there. And the road, of course, is the line. And I own it from the road down to this line down here.
When you were working, then you were doing farming and...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Would you farm your own land or other people's?
No, I never had no farm of my own.
Uh-huh.
I was working for other people all the time. I worked about 4 years for a man by the name of Charlie Pitchenbarger. I'll be my mission in a bit ago. And I done some hard work, the hardest work as I ever done. I started to work for him. I was about 14 or 15 years old. And he was giving me 25 cents a day. And my board, if I stayed with him. It was a good place to board. They was good to me. They treated me all for good. Well, I worked about a year, 25 cents a day. Well, you know, you can't accumulate much money at 25 cents a day.
No, you can't. That's
and during that time, in a year's time, I think that I got about a dollar and a half in cash, in money. It was all the money I ever got out of my labor. Well, I told him one day, I said, I'm going to quit working here. Well, he said, what's the trouble? Well, I said, you ain't paying me enough. I said, there's a lot of work that I'm doing as much as you are doing. A lot of work that we're working together, and I can pull my side up with you. And I said, you know, you wouldn't want to work for the wages that I'm working at. Well, he said, I'll tell you what I'll do. He said, I'll give you 30 cents.
5 more cents.
And I said, that's a big raise. Well, I decided I'd try it a while at that. So I gave in to him, let it go with that a while. And I jumped on to him again. And I said, I ain't going to work here any longer. You don't pay me some more money. I can't do it. I said, I can get more money than what you're paying me. Well, he said, I'll give you 40 cents a day. I worked a little while for him at that. And in this time, my mother got married. She married this old man down there. Well, he got after me then to come stay with them and work on the farm. Well, for a while he paid me, I believe, a dollar a day.
What year was that, do you remember? Was it in the 20s?
No, that was back in the teens, way back in the teens.
Yeah.
I can't tell you just exactly, but it must have been 15, 16, along there somewhere, near as I can tell. So I just stayed with him and worked down there, and he paid me a dollar a day, I believe, is what he gave me. But of course, I was there a while, and he considered me the same as a member of the family. And so things just drifted along, and I thought I was doing things for my mother too, which I wanted to do. if I could, help them both out. I'd go off still and work other places. I went to Nobly Mountain, down in Hampshire County. Worked about 3 years in peach orchard down there. I had to be gone about all summer, working in the peach orchard. And that's about all that I know to tell you about my record.
Well, when you did the fiddling, now was that always free, or would there be dances that you might be?
That was free.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, you got out of it with the pleasure, if you could hear.
Sure.
Pleasure,
yeah.
Out of it. That was all there was to it. No, there was no pay connected with it at all.
Oh, that's probably a nice way of doing it anyway.
Well, yes. Yeah. I think the most modern way and honest way anyway.
Mm-hmm. Let me just see how far this is.